But we're glad to be here today for each and every one who found it in their hearts to come this way into God's house. I noticed that the clock has been changed. So you don't need to worry about whether it's going to go 2 hours or not. I was in a church one time where they forgot to do that, and I was gracious enough, I kind of let them know that, you know, you may not want to keep that time you got up there. So at any rate, we're glad to be here today. Thankful for each and every one. We want to say in the beginning that we love you all so much, and we pray for your loved ones, those that are sick, those that are afflicted, hospital beds, nursing homes. And we don't take those prayer requests for granted, but we always pray that, dear God, your will be done, but give them the comfort and the strength that they need. And there's one that loves you even more than I do, and he is up above. And he loved you all so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you have your Bible with you and would care to read along, we ask that you would turn with us to the 56th Psalm. Psalm 56. This, again, is a Psalm of David. In this particular occasion, David found himself in the camp of the Philistines in Gath. And while that he was there to avoid being slain or executed, he feigned himself to be mad. They thought that he was crazy, in other words. But David wrote this, and you know, he had been anointed king by Samuel. And he probably wondered to himself, you know, I was to be king. Samuel anointed me. Was Samuel wrong? I've got Saul over in Israel, and he's after me. And here's the king of Gath. I don't know if I'm going to live very long being in the camp of the Philistines. But David knew his God, and he knew that his God had brought him through many, many times, come to his rescue. And so we're going to start with the first verse of the 56th chapter, or 56th Psalm. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you'd read along with us. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word, for in God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words, all their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thy anger, cast down these people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings, but put thou up my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? And when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. For this I know, for God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? If it correctly reads this, this is the first verse down through the 13th verse of the 56th Psalm, a Psalm of David. Part of our text is going to come from the third and fourth verses. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. David trusted in God with all his very being. He is also, as the scripture says in one place, he is a man after God's own heart. So continually, he was seeking after God's will, following after God. And here he finds himself in those places where that you would not expect him to be. He was a mortal enemy of the Philistines. But yet in all of it, David was faithful unto God, and David's faith was in God. Now, we think about faith today. We think about, you know, we have faith that our car is going to start. Or we've got faith that, you know, what we eat in a restaurant is going to set well with us. But, you know, it kind of goes a little bit further than that. Faith is that confidence. It is that assurance that goes down deep within us. It's an evidence of things not seen. In other words, we find in the 11th chapter, first verse of Hebrews, just the very best definition for faith. It says it is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. In other words, it's a very, very sure and steadfast knowledge and hope, even though you cannot see it, even though you cannot witness it. And that type of faith, the only way that that works today is the fact that it's faith that is in the Lord God. Without it today, we can't even come unto God. We can't even come before him. The Bible says over in this one place, same chapter that we just alluded to a little while ago, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For they that come unto God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He's the center of our thoughts. He's the center of our prayer. He's the object of faith. And we find that not only God is that, that he's the center and object of our faith, but we find that his son, Jesus Christ, is also, that's how we come, before God. We can't come any other way. If any man come up before God or try to enter in by any other means, the Bible says the same is as a thief and a liar. But the Bible also tells us that Christ Jesus said it himself, I and my Father are one. They are the objects. They are who we resort to. It's not like that we give up and we say, well, I've tried all these things. I guess I'll try the Lord now. But no, he's the first one that we go to. And we find that the Bible tells us and goes on a little bit further. It says in so many words that there is power within faith. Did you know that your faith can have power in it today? Not the type of power that you generate, but it's a power with God, because God looks for faith. God looks for that earnest expectation from us today. And all power is with him. Jesus said it over in one place in the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew's gospel. He said, all power has now been given unto me, both power over death and both power over all dominions and power over all the earth. And one day that will be his realm and all the politics and all the kingdoms and all the kings and all the despots will have to give way unto him, because he's worthy today of all honor and glory. There's power with Him. He is omnipotent. That is, He's all-powerful. There's no other source He goes to build up His power. He has it all. We talk about needing power for our car or needing power for our phones, and we have to go continually. And we have to recharge it, or we have to put something into it that will make it go. That's not so with the Lord. He cannot and He will not become more and more and more power. He's at the pinnacle, and no one else can come to that point except for Him today. Now, He is powerful in His promises. He said in one place in the book of Ephesians, He said these words. He said that by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You see, it takes faith to be saved today. It takes faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that even the Apostle Paul, we go over into one of his accounts of where that he was traveling. He gathered the people from Miletus, the elders from Miletus, as he was going on to Rome. And he gathered them together. And he said, I have not ceased to preach the gospel. He said in the 20th chapter and 21st verse of Acts, he said, these words, he said, I have not failed to declare repentance towards God and faith in whom? The Lord Jesus Christ. That is our source of salvation. That's who we point men, women, boys, and girls unto today. And we find that in faith, a man is justified by faith, not by his works. We saw a program the other night where that it looked like this particular religious group. It became evident that they were depending upon faith or upon works. How they dressed, how they did this, how they did that. You know, all kinds of things. If you go over into the study about Pharisees and Sadducees, and I'm not trying to criticize today, but it kind of reminded me of how they would dress, how they would act whenever that they are out in public. Excuse me. And thereby, it was by their works that they were hoping that they would get to heaven. But you know what the Bible says? A man is justified by faith and by faith alone. There are innumerable amounts of scripture today that talks about walking by faith, living by faith, being justified by faith, being saved by faith. So God puts a great emphasis upon that today. And I want to say this today, no matter how that the religious world in the future, if the future is with us and we have the opportunity to be in the future, it does not matter how that it will change. It does not matter a new message or whatever the case might be. It will always take the same thing, because there is only one plan of salvation. There is only one mediator between God and between man. There's only one intercessor between God and man. And I could go right on down the line, but it boils down to this. There's none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, it was somewhere in your experience you found grace in the sight of God to exercise faith towards Him. And my friend, you became justified in the sight of God. Now, it was as though you had never committed sin, or you were never born of Abraham's seed. God does something today in the heart and in the soul where that it's just when he looks upon your soul, he sees not the sin, he sees not the mark of Adam, he sees the mark of Christ being conformed under the image of Christ in salvation. But does faith end there? I would think not. Because faith is an ongoing thing. The Bible tells us in one place, we live by faith. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2 tells us in one place that the righteous shall live by faith. In other words, those that have been justified before God. We live by faith. We walk by faith. We do not know what tomorrow is going to bring, but we can have faith towards the one that sees what is going to happen tomorrow. And why is it so important today? Because we're going to have tribulations, we're going to have trials, we're going to have things that happen to us. After that, I was saved and pretty much was going along and thankful that I had been saved. Things would happen, and I would get worried, and I would wonder, God, did I do something wrong? Did I do something in all of this that has displeased you? Maybe I'm not saved. But yet God would take me back under that spot and under that experience of grace. And I want to say this today, not everybody has the same experience of grace. It's a personal salvation. It's between you and Almighty God. But afterwards, we walk by faith and we depend upon God and we exercise faith towards Him today. Trials would come. Temptations would come. One of the first things that happened to me after I was saved was I was in an automobile accident, of all things. In an automobile accident. Going to church at that. Driving the car maybe a little too fast. But you know, the Bible tells us we are going to, in this world, have problems. We're going to have trials, temptations, tribulations. We're going to have strifes. And someone will say today, if you meet up with someone, what did the preacher preach on? Oh my goodness, he said, we're going to have trials. We're going to have this. We're going to have that. And I felt pretty good before I got to church. But man, I tell you what, I can't eat my fried chicken now. But my friend, I want you to know that we are now the faithful of God. That is, full of faith and trust and dependence upon Him. Do you know one of the things I discovered? That I can't even take a breath without Him. I can't even have a heartbeat without Him. I found that out. It's dependent upon Him. And I have faith in Him. I have faith that He will give me life as He sees fit. And I have faith today that whenever that my life comes to a close, that God will take care of it. And my friend, I may miss this earth, but I want to tell you, I'm welcoming heaven and I'm looking forward to being in heaven and seeing all the saints of God. Now, faith, knowing that we have these problems and trials, my friend, it does something for us. Have you ever seen weightlifters? I'm sure you have. I'm not a very good example of it, but I used to lift weights whenever that I was in school, in high school. Boy, I really thought I was hot stuff, you know. I'd wear the tightest t-shirts I could. Boy, I tell you, I'd walk down the hall, nobody mess with me, because you'll see what I can do. Probably the truth of the matter is, they would have laid me out on the floor. But whenever the weightlifter goes to build himself up, he can't do it any other way except that he work at lifting weights of a different weight. Do you understand what I'm saying on that? He doesn't just walk into the gym and look at them and hope that maybe by osmosis It will build him up. But no, he has to push against it. He has to build up the ability to lift even more weight. And man, I've seen him in a gym where that they just about reach the max, and you see their arms tremble like that, but they manage to get the bar up. That is how it is with our Christian life. I want to tell you, God has armored us with the whole armor of God in order to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But he's also given us the ability to have faith towards him, that when troubles and trials come, we can withstand that to a point. And then it seems like there's more problems and troubles that come. And after a while, you begin to think, oh, when is this ever going to stop? But do you know what's happening to you? You're building up a spiritual strength. You're building up a spiritual endurance today. And my friend, it strengthens you that whenever that other problems come, you don't fall out wondering what's going on, but it gives you the ability to withstand whatever may come your way. Now, you're depending upon God in faith. That'll never, ever end. We'll depend upon Him time and time and time again. But you know, as troubles come and heartaches come, it strengthens, it builds. And you know, I used to wonder why in the world it is like that. Why do you say, why can't you just snap your finger, Lord, and I'm a mature Christian? Do you know why you go through some of the things you do? Because there's going to be somebody come into your life at some point who's going through a terrible turmoil that they think that there's no way out. And you can sit down beside of them and say, you know, I experienced this. Maybe not the same as what you have, but I understand how you're feeling. Do you know what that is today? Philippians calls it the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Christ showed compassion. He showed sympathy, empathy for those that were around him. And you know, you have that with you. Now, you don't become Christ, but you have that nature. You have that sympathizing heart. And you know, you can relate to him. Hey, listen to what happened to me. I had a wreck the other day. It tore the car completely up. But do you know what? I came out of it and God spared me. And it can show, and it can teach, and it can encourage people not to give up. I want to encourage this congregation, don't ever give up, no matter what may happen, because it may be God working with you and tempering you and strengthening you today. Peter talks about gold being tried in the fire. Do you know that that may happen to you? And you may feel like, oh God, I can't take this. But it's a tempering process. It's a process whereby, my friend, that the very best that God sees in you, He is trying to bring forth. And whenever that, have you ever seen a piece of gold before that it's refined? It doesn't really look like gold. I don't know what it looks like, but not gold. But you know what they do? The smith works with it, and he begins to mold it, and he begins to fire it, and he'll put it in the fire, and then he'll take it out, and then he'll put it in the fire again, and then he'll take it out. And you know, over time, that precious metal, what is there, begins to come forth, and it becomes of great value. Your troubles, your trials, but your faith, most importantly of all, is great and mighty in the sight of God and used of Him to help others. And I want you to know that we live in a world today where the people, you wouldn't believe some of the things that happen to people. Then again, maybe you do. But I want you to know that God has allowed that to happen that you might be a benefit to somebody, that you might take the stranger and ask him, is there anything that I can do for you? And then faith helps us whenever that there's an insurmountable, there's an obstacle that is so great that we cannot get past it. You know, over in Mark chapter 11 and in the 22nd verse, the Bible says, as Jesus was talking to the disciples about the fig tree that had was supposed to have fruit but didn't, and he cursed it. And later on it dried up. And as they saw that, they reminded him of it. And he told them this. He said, have faith in God. If you go away with nothing else today, have faith in God. Don't have faith in the government. Now, I'm not against the government, but my friend, there's a verse of scripture over, and I cannot pull it out as of yet, but it says, some men trust in horses. Now, that's not anything, Brother Carl and Sister Patsy, against horses, but it was talking about as far as defending themselves and as far as going into battle. They trusted in that. Do you know what got David in trouble one time? Was that he numbered Israel. Yeah. He wanted to know how many fighting men we had. And David had forgotten of how that God, through his providence and his power, had wrought great victories, my friend, even without the great numbers and the great amount of soldiers or of troops, so to speak. Have faith in God. And Jesus went on to say, if you have faith even as a grain of mustard seed. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? My wife has to describe them to me because I can't see them very well. They have them sometimes in amber, and I can't even see them when they're in amber. But they are very, very, very small. Looks so insignificant. You wonder, what in the world can grow out of that? But whenever that seed is sown, there's something that happens. It germinates. It brings forth a tree. It brings forth a bush that you would not believe that it came from such a small, insignificant seed. And he said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into yonder place, and it would be done for you. Now, I want you to know people will probably take that. And I think if God wills it, yeah, we can move them. In fact, God did move a mountain several years ago. Mount St. Helens. And it's not been the same since. When God does things, it gets people's attention. But nevertheless, you'll have mountains in your life. There's no way to get over it. There's no way to get around it. There's no way that I can go through it today. And it looks like all is lost. And it looks like that there is no possible way that I can get over this mountain that is so insurmountable. I don't see a solution. But he said, if you have a faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can pray that mountain out of the way. And I'm sure there have been times whenever that there's been mountains that have been in your life. There's been mountains that have been in mine. I didn't see a solution at all. I didn't see how anything could do it. But somehow we hit our knees with God and just said, Lord, if it's your will you remove, will you help me to accomplish this? Will you help me to get through this? Will you help me not to give up? That's the one thing that Satan wants you all to do. Is give up. Say, what's the use? Don't give up. The battle's not over with yet. And sometimes it looks like Satan is winning the battle. But my friend, the war is still ongoing and the war is not over with yet. You want to know what happens to him? Read over in the 19th, 20th, and 21st chapters of the book of Revelation. And someone told me this one time, and I've not really tried it myself, but I think it's pretty good. Whenever that Satan brings up your past, tells you that you're not worthy, you can't do anything for God, you are too much of a sinful past, just remind, and he says your future is bleak, just go over and read to him Revelation 20, 21, and 22. And do you know what happens to him? He's cast into the lake that is burning with fire and brimstone. That's his end. And he knows this is going to happen, but before then it does happen, he's going to try to stop the gospel, stop God's people, discourage God's people. That's why we pan together. That's why we come together. We support one another. I want to tell you something, as the days and years go on, become more cohesive, and as we preached about last week, just bind close together in that one cord of Christian love and affection today. The mountain may seem steep, but all things are possible with God. And you know, if you see somebody going through a terrible time, at some point, ask God to help you to pray for them. Have you ever had somebody come up before your mind and you wonder, Lord, why did you bring so-and-so up for me? And I don't know anyone else, but for me, it's a signal from God, I need to pray for that person. It's not a signal that I have to say, well, they're bad off, and man, I'm glad, thank you, God, I'm not going through what they're going through. It's not that. He wants you to pray for them and remember them in prayer. And you might say, have you experienced that? I was traveling back through Bolivar from a revival, and all of a sudden, this young man that I had met down at one of the churches we'd preached at, he came before my mind. And I didn't understand it. I just, Lord, I don't know what's going on with him. But I pulled my car over and I began to pray for him. And I found out later he was going through a great trial. Now, I'm not trying to be mystic or try to be psychic or anything like that. But I want to tell you, the more you get in tune with God, the more that those things will happen. And my friend, the more you're in tune with God, and you may have mountains, but God will grant unto you the ability to be able to overcome those things. There was a woman that came to Jesus on occasion. Jesus was on his way to heal another person. And here comes this lady who had had an infirmity for about 12 years. And someone will say, that's not good that she had interrupted him. I want to tell you, Jesus has all power. He is able, my friend, to do great, mighty things. He is able to answer a prayer around the world. And he's able to answer a prayer here in Hickory County. But she was on her way through the crowds, and she had been with an issue of blood, something that had afflicted her for about 12 years, no doubt, probably since her childhood. But you know what she said unto herself? She said, if I can but just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Brethren, that's faith. That's faith. And you know, my friend, Jesus probably didn't see her in the crowd, but he felt the virtue and healing power went out of him. And as it went out of him, she was healed. Brother, I want to tell you, don't take God for granted of what he can do and how he can help people and how that he can reach out to them. You know, today, doubt is a terrible disease. And you might say, doubt is a disease. Yes, it is. Doubt leads to worry, leads to anxiety, leads to this. And then the organ systems start breaking down and they start going one by one. And I'm not saying that's what's going on with you all, but my friend, doubt is a terrible disease. It's the worst disease. It's something that will bar you from the very portals of heaven in trying to get your prayer through to God. But my friend, faith, there's a song that says, prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. And that is so true today. Now he gives us joy. Faith gives us joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength, it says over Nehemiah. My friend, I will tell you, there's times whenever I've just been bubbling up inside and I'm just kind of giggling to myself, and you know, I'm hoping nobody hears me. But when it's the joy of the Lord, I don't care, because I'm rejoicing, I'm feasting upon His manna. And my friend, I don't always have that, but I want you to know that as you get closer and closer and closer to God, you can experience those things. And I'm not saying that you don't, but I do believe with all my heart that God does from time to time give you a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Philippians. This was one of his last of what they call the prison epistles, along with Ephesians and along with Timothy and all of those. And you know that as he wrote this, as he sent it under the churches at Philippi, do you know where that scholars think that he was located? They believe that he was in prison at that time. And they believe that he was down in the bowels of a Roman prison, far away from everybody else. And there supposedly is a sewage system that would run kind of either parallel or right through that prison. Here's the Apostle Paul chained to a wall. Awful corruption all around him. And yet he says, fulfill you my joy. Yet he says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Yet he rejoices in God his Savior. How can he do that? Because it's not an earthly joy that he's enjoying and that he's feasting upon. It's a heavenly joy. It's one today, my friend, that will sustain and that will help and will guide. David, over in the land of the Philistines, boy, I'll tell you, if I was David, that's the last place I'd want to go. Do you know where Gath is located at? Pretty close to present-day Gaza. And it seems like they've had problems with that area going all the way back to the Philistines. But, you know, he was over in the camp of the enemy. Very well could have been executed, very well could have been imprisoned or whatever. But God got him through that. And he said, in essence, I will trust in the Lord with all my might, with all that is within me. So as we close our few remarks today, I pray that you'll draw nigh to God. The Bible says in one place, draw nigh unto the Lord, and He'll draw nigh unto you. And there's no such thing as being too close to God. There's always room for getting closer and closer and closer and closer today. Have faith in Him today. Whatever the circumstances might be, whatever the problem might be, whatever the mountain might be today, have faith in God, Mark 11 says.